Welcome to Cowboys, Not Eggheads. Home of the brave, not home of the fearful. The world needs more cowboys and fewer eggheads. We're everywhere podcasts are found. So tell your fellow cowboys, and let's keep the conversation alive on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Remember to subscribe, rate, review, and share. And now, Cowboys, Not Eggheads, with Sam Fisher.
On September 11th, 2001, there was a national tragedy that we're all aware of, and whoever, the authorities, whoever they are, were quite concerned about how children were going to react to the events that happened, which were pretty major. It'll be interesting to talk to you all about that here in a minute, but one of the things that they did is they asked Mr. Rogers, who's one of my heroes, believe it or not, to come out of retirement to do kind of a PSA on what do we do, you know, or what do you tell kids? And Mr. Rogers said, look for the helpers. And so today we've got three helpers, three of my favorite helpers, and it's no coincidence that they've all been on this podcast because they're part of Sam's Army, and they are fantastic, wonderful human beings that all three have large hearts. I recently discovered in a couple of my podcasts, we talk about I don't feel from my heart. These ladies feel from their heart. I feel from my gut. That's why it's so big.
All right. Did you have that written?
Nailed
down?
It.
Thank you.
You nailed it. Timing and everything. The delivery was perfect.
Thank you. She has a big heart. Well, Sam has a big gut. So there you go. So we want to welcome back. I want to introduce you all. We have welcome back to Bree Siegert, the relentless warrior, is what I call Bree. She is in episodes 217, 218, 317, 416, and today 515, which officially makes her the most the guest with the most appearances on Cowboys Not Eggheads. Congratulations.
Well, that's quite the intro. Hello.
Yeah. And then next to Bree, we have the serial seeker of enlightenment, the one person that would use mind flow, neuroplasticity, and David Goggins in the same sentence.
Yep.
Jillian Watts, my second cousin, or cousin once removed, so they say, who has her own podcast called The Jillian Show.
Yes, I do.
It's pretty good.
Thank you.
I actually listened to it. You shot me out the other day, by the way. And then we have one of my very first guests, the passionate drive and chosen helper, Brandy Preston.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah.
I like that.
She was in episode 106. And so I am going to go around today. We're going to do, I don't know if y'all heard my men's panel, but I'd like to do the same kind of thing. And that is, I'm going to try and get out of the way. I want you guys to talk to each other. I think you three are very alike, and I think it's going to be a good conversation. So I'm excited about it. So feel free to ask a question another person or whatever. This is a panel discussion. We're going to try something new. Okay?
Cool.
So we're going to start, and I'm going to go kind of a round robin. I'm going to ask each one of you three quick questions as an introductory. First is, we'll start with Bree. Your memories of 9/11, how do you help people? And how do we know each other?
Okay. Memories of 9/11, I don't even need to think about it. I remember exactly where I think everyone can kind of attest to that. But I was in the fourth grade. I remember being in class, and it was like shortly after we said the Pledge of Allegiance. I don't even know if they still do that in schools anymore.
Yeah.
Do they do the Pledge of Allegiance? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know. But I remember, like, our teacher, like, stopping class and, like, turning the TV on, and his name was Mr. Payne. I hadn't really seen men cry that much up to this point in my life, and I remembered him crying in class, and I think a lot of us kids like didn't really understand the gravity of this situation, but the feeling, like that heaviness and just knowing like something was very, very wrong, that's the memory that I have of 9/11. And then coming home that day and my mom being in tears, and just, it was just a very tragic day. It's a very instilled memory in my mind.
Yeah.
How
do you help people?
I help people. I am a CrossFit coach. I like to think, and a nutrition coach, but I like to think of it more as like a lifestyle coach. Because there's just so much more than just, you know, food and fitness that goes into being a healthy person. So yeah, I help people change their lives.
And how do we know each other?
We know each other through CrossFit Kinesis. That's where I met Sam, and we became really good friends.
Yep. Miss Watts?
Yes. Okay, so 9/11, so very similar memory to Bree. I was in sixth grade, and I remember, like, the hall just got weird. Like, everything got silent, and my teacher, like, her, I just, like, I have, like, a core memory, probably like you guys do. And I remember her body language changed, and she started talking. There was like a very like smart kid in our class, I remember, who obviously also knew what was going on and like knew about it. I didn't know what the Twin Towers were. I didn't know. So I guess I just wasn't familiar with that, but they pulled like a TV in, and then they had like that one student explain to us like what was going on. And I remember thinking, because that was in the day where like you wheeled in like the box TV like on, sure, you know, and we watched like literally when the second plane hit, because we like had it on live, and so we saw that. And I mean, kind of like Bree said, everything just was like silent, and that heaviness also. I was going to say something about that, because I feel everything changed, like in just society. People got weird, the kids got weird, the kids even picked up on like what would be more of like an adult, I guess, seriousness, if that makes sense. But I remember that, and that's kind of all. I don't remember going home or what happened, but yeah, I remember it being very like poignant moment that this is not good.
And how do you help people?
How do I help people? By how I live my life. I do a lot of different things. I hate saying them all out loud, but I've been a teacher for 10 years. So I do that. I've also taught juvenile detention. So I gravitate towards kids who need a little bit more love. So I try to be very intentional with that. I also have 4 children, and so I do a lot of helping. I also just am very intentional with every relationship. So if there's people in my life, like I... Just this last week, my friend was like, I have to put a meeting together and I don't have anything done. And I just like put the meeting slides together for her. And she was like, oh my God. And I'm like, no, it's like nothing. Like, you need help, I can help you. Forget. And then like later you kind of forget that you even do stuff like that. But I just try to, however I am living, I try to show up as a helper, I guess.
Good answer. And how do we know each other?
How do we know each other? That. Yeah, that's great. We're cousins. We are related.
Well,
thank
we
you.
Have good blood. We come from good bloodline.
Heck yeah.
The Watts side. Mm-hmm. Not the Fisher side, the Watts side.
Okay.
All right. Brandy Preston, will you tell us about 9/11? What do you remember?
Yeah, so very similar to your guys' experience. So I went to St. Robert's, and so they came over the intercom, and the priest prayed.
Well, how old were you?
I was in fifth grade.
Fifth grade, so
oh, right in the middle of you guys.
Day. Yeah.
And then I remember when the second, they didn't show us on TV. They kept actually turning the TV away from us, like we couldn't watch. But somebody had said like a second plane hit the tower, and I'm the daughter of 2 police officers, and I was like, that doesn't sound like an accident. And my fifth grade teacher has actually like messaged me on Facebook like every 9/11 since. Like, I will always remember that you like called that out right away, you know? And then we went to church, and people were like pulling their kids out of school, and being the daughter of police officers, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be here late, or if my parents are going to come get me. Like, are my parents going to have to do something for this, right? And they ended up coming to get me, because, you know, obviously it was in New York and not in Omaha, but that was just kind of how my brain worked, was, am I going to be here at school, or am I going to get picked up by somebody, because are my parents going to somehow have to go respond to this, right? So kind of a little bit of a different take, I think. how I help people. So I started a nonprofit that focuses on hereditary cancer. So we help people if they're diagnosed with the cancer or if they're high risk for developing cancer, kind of navigate that journey. In the last couple of years, I've gotten really into prenatal genetics too. So kind of have two ends of that. So just kind of help people along some really difficult paths when it comes to being sick themselves or having family members sick with cancer.
Well, if you have cancer, the first, we just had a podcast with Danielle Jensen, who Brandy introduced me to Danielle. But anyway, she had cancer. Who's the first person that she called? Right here. Mm. She's an expert at all things cancer.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we'll probably dive into that a little later. I wish I didn't know as much about that disease as I do, but it's kind of a way to pay it forward, right? We all have things happen in our lives, and that's kind of how we are able to help others is through our own experiences. And then how I know Sam, you just mentioned Danielle Jensen. I used to babysit for Danielle, and kind of tied to 9/11. So my mom was going through cancer treatment at that time, and she loved to watch the news. And so she would always be like laying on the couch, and we always knew like, if we were going to hang out with mom, like we didn't turn the TV, right? And so we like absorbed everything on the news. But neither of my parents were registered voters. So that was pretty interesting. Mm. And then I got super into politics because I was always watching the news. And I babysat for Danielle Jensen. And then she introduced me to Sam. And so then I worked for Sam for a number of years. So it all kind of ties together there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Full circle. So I'm sure everybody wants to know what I was doing on 9/11, right?
Yeah.
Heck yeah, we
I'll
do.
I'll tell you.
Good story.
I was working for the Republican National Committee. That was back when I traveled 180 to 200 days a year. I had 20 states in my region, and I was in Utah. I was in Salt Lake City, Utah, about a block away from the Mormon Tabernacle. And I remember it was about 7:30, about 7 o'clock there. It was the mountain time. And I had just gotten up. I was staying at the Holiday Inn Express. That was before I knew that I could actually stay at nicer places than the Holiday Inn Express. I was going to Subway and
so bad,
all this crap. And I'm like, oh, you can actually eat somewhere besides Subway. But anyway, I opened my BlackBerry with the track wheel.
Oh, my God.
Those were the best.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They were the best. You could roll and click. I wish
full
we still had those.
Full keyboard, too.
Full keyboard. Yeah. They were the best.
I don't know. The flip phone.
And so I got my daily RN Republican National Committee clips, and I read this, and I thought, what in the hell?
Mm-hmm.
On an email. So I turn on the TV, and sure enough, there it
is. Oh, my gosh.
And then I called. I remember calling my mom because she knew that I traveled a lot. And I said, I just want to let you know I'm fine. Mm-hmm. In Salt Lake City. She said, what are you talking about? And I told her what was going on. She goes, oh, Sam, you're making this up. I'm like, Mom, turn on the TV. And she goes, let me call you back. I'm like, okay. So about 10 minutes later, my mother, who's one of the most smartest, wisest, most talk about a helper. I mean, she was, she said, I want you to call Heather and I want you guys to withdraw $1,000 from the bank because she thought that the financial markets were going to collapse. She thought we needed cash.
A lot of people did that.
It wasn't panic. It was like, don't take all your money out. Just take $1,000 cash out. And we had that $1,000 cash in our nightstand for about 3-4 months after that until... But that was my mother's advice. So anyway.
That's smart.
Crazy day. But it was a day that, everybody was looking for some helpers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just thought that would be a common thing that everybody, that's cool. All right. Into the meat. How do you guys feel when you help people? Is it rewarding? Do you like it? Is it fun? What is your experience from helping people, being a helper? How do you feel?
I just love that your question is, how do you feel?
I know. I was like, that's not
shocking.
Sam-like.
Again, I feel... I feel good in my gut. Well, I was just joking with a friend of mine today. He goes, there ought to be a... there ought to be an emoji of a stomach because he like, you know, the heart emoji for me, there should be like...
Isn't there one?
There is.
Is there an emoji for like...
Yeah, there's like a GI tract
is there,
or something.
It's literally like a stomach,
like the organ.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you're going to start seeing that for
right?
me.
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Cool. Well, I'm going to start...
Brain gut connection.
So it's like
thing.
GI or something? You put GI in
the... I think you just put stomach.
Stomach.
Yeah.
Cool.
I swear, right?
Yeah.
So days. So next time I love one of your guys' tweets, I'm going to put a stomach on there. You know where it's all about.
I don't have Twitter.
I was just going to say a tweet.
I've never had Twitter.
It's not even Twitter anymore, is it?
Oh, X. Yeah. See, I'm so far removed.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
I'm literally looking for this emoji.
I know. I want to see.
Okay. What do we think? Stomach? Or gut, no, maybe. They don't like that. Did we make this up?
Maybe.
Intestines.
I told my buddy, I'm like, there should be a picture of like roadkill with like intestines.
Gastrointestinal tract. Okay. I can't spell. What was your question?
Maybe we did make that question.
How does it feel when you help people?
Yeah, how do you feel when you help people?
Okay, I'll answer this first. So for me, it feels like to be aligned with who I am as a person, to feel good, like the intuitive like gut connection, I need to help. I don't need to help. I just do it. There's not like a life I'm living that I'm not the person that steps up to help, if that makes sense. So for me, I don't even think like, wow, I'm helping somebody right now. I just see myself as like living, and that's how I live. My mom always told me that like, you don't do something to get something in return. So I've grown up, like that's one of the things that she's always like preached. She just said it to me the other day. Now you know that you don't do something to get something back. And so in my brain, I just live like that. And since I've heard that for so long, that's just how, you know, and now I tell that to my kids. And so I just do it. I don't consider myself a helper. I mean, I am, because like I'm a teacher.
But you know when you help people, right? People thank you. Thank you for your help, Jill. How does that make you feel?
Maybe not. Honestly, like I think I like maybe dissociate a little bit when people say thank you to me because it's uncomfortable. I don't like.
Thank you for being here today, Jill.
Okay, well, that's like a pleasantry. But if someone's coming up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, like when I made that like meeting presentation for my friend, she was like, I'm just going to text you thank you all week. And I'm like, no, you're not. You can say it one time and like be done, because it's uncomfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want that.
Are you working on that part?
I'm doing that.
You should accept thanks.
I am accepting it, but like we don't need to like live here. We can just say thank you. Great. Cool. Move on. I have a hard time accepting help, which is a growth area.
Do you have a hard time accepting compliments too?
Absolutely. Say no. Don't want to hear it.
Love compliments. So
great. So now we're going to be like so uncomfortable.
It's going to be like an argument, but you're just saying really nice things about each other.
Let's get this to be very weird. Okay.
So helping to you is just who you are. It's part of your being.
It's yeah.
And so it's nothing special.
Correct.
It's what you do.
Everybody.
Maybe that's why you're a teacher.
That.
I mean, duh.
Yep.
Huh.
Middle school, you know.
Okay, kind of who's got a more enlightening question answer than that?
He's like, you're done.
I don't know. I think for me, I'm dealing with people that are kind of in a point of crisis, right? So like you're facing a cancer diagnosis, or you're facing like my child has spinal muscular atrophy or something. So it's something that you never expected you would be in this position. And so for me, it's kind of like, let me take control of the situation and help you navigate the system, because I know how to navigate it and you don't.
But you keep your emotions out of it. That's interesting in the sense, or maybe, I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth, but I mean, you know how you take control? It's because you let them be emotional, but you're not emotional because you know what you're doing. You're in control.
And I'm emotional for them, right? Like it's a really, because I was there with my mom, right?
I'm not saying you're not empathetic.
But it's like, okay, we have a challenge in front of us, and we're going to hit it head on, and here's the plan, right? And because you get this diagnosis, and then it's like, am I going to have chemo? Am I going to have radiation? Am I going to have surgeries? Am I going to be here for my kids? What are all the things I need to put in place?
It's overwhelming.
And so, and for somebody that's never lived in that space, it's very hard, and it's a lot to take on all at once. So it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to contact these healthcare providers. We're going to set up these safety nets. Here's when your family asks you how they can help. They don't know how to help, and they don't know how to have those conversations either. So you need to ask for specific things, right? Or like us as helpers, like somebody that's facing that journey, like volunteer to do something. Say, right. Hey, I have a cleaning lady. She's going to come clean your house. Let me know what time. Instead of like, hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
Because they don't know what help they need either.
Even like the postpartum mom life, they say, like, don't ask your friends what they need. Say what you're doing to show up for them. And like, one of my best friends is pregnant right now, and I already have my, I know I'm going to do this to help. And it's almost makes me think of like, you have a very defined role when you are speaking, how you show up to help. You're like, this is my job. I'm doing boom, 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 boom.
Yep, for sure. It's kind of like the quarterback, right? Like, we just, I'm going to be the hub and you need to get all these other people in place. Yep, here's the playbook and here's how we're going to attack this moving forward.
I know you like helping people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of the most rewarding things, but I think like one of the, like the most rewarding thing about it is like, usually when people come to me for help, they're not in a good place. You know, obviously, like, with you too, Brandy, like, they're just, their health is in crisis. And then when people are really emotional, they don't tend to make, like, the smartest decisions, or they try to do everything at once. And so, like, when people come to me, they're not in a good place with, like, their health. And it's a very hard ask. It's embarrassing for some people to say, like, vulnerable. I don't know what I'm doing with my food. I'm embarrassed to tell someone, like, what I'm struggling with. So, like, already there's, like, a line of trust that they're opening up and being so vulnerable. And I think the most rewarding part is just the fact that they like trust me enough to even like ask for help, and then like let me along their journey with them, and kind of like being more than a coach, like it's like a team effort, you know. And so I think that's like a really rewarding part, is like just even starting is super, like, it's a blessing.
Why, now this is going to be interesting for Jill to answer, but why do you guys, I mean, to me, it's, you guys were called to help. You were called to help. I wouldn't get into that story, but why, just this general question, why do you think you were called to help?
Gosh, maybe for me, it's been a very, I guess, therapeutic lesson in learning how to start accepting help. I think like what we're called to in life is also not for like our output, but also for us to kind of learn and navigate it. Because since I am a person who like always shows up and feels called to do this, there's that other side where I have a hard time being the person that accepts it. And I think seeing how, so just talking about like postpartum, so after I had my youngest, one of my best friends was like, I'm coming over and I'm gonna cook you breakfast. It wasn't a question. She came over, she cleaned my kitchen, she cooked me breakfast for myself and my family. And just like, it's so vulnerable, just like you guys are talking about, when you need help from somebody, even if you don't want to say it, in your closest relationships, like, no, I think that space is so just very uneasy, I guess. So like, that's, I think for me, a lot of it has been that duality of, you're going to show up and be a helper because the world like needs this, but also as part of your journey, you need to see like the, I guess, the power that that punch can pack for you as a giver and a recipient, if that makes sense. So I think obviously the world like needs all of our gifts, however we show up. But I think like it's also a journey for us to learn. So I think for me, the biggest piece is figuring out how to graciously accept help and like live in that vulnerable space that's not so decided. As a helper, you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to show up. I'm going to go boom, 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 boom. For me, it's a very assured place because I know what I'm doing. I know my role. But then on the other side of that, it's not. So I think learning to have that balance, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Why do I like to help? So for me,
why was I called to help?
My mom died of breast cancer when I was 14. She was diagnosed when I was 9. So for me, helping is like, I'm going to cry.
It's okay.
How I overcome grief. Paying it forward. Like, why am I like this? Why am I a disaster?
You were 14 years old when your mom passed away?
Yeah.
14? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, it was just a way to cope with loss, and it's still, like, absolutely. I still miss my mom. Sorry. I was not expecting to do this. So it just allows me to kind of do what I know that she did for others. So
yeah,
my mom might think, I mean, she knew she was dying of cancer, but she did things for other people. Like she did chemo graduations. Like she would take in cakes and Lays and grass skirts, and she would have like a luau for people that were graduating chemo, knowing that she would never get there. Right. And I think that was kind of how she coped with her diagnosis, and knowing she wasn't going to make it through, and it made sitting there receiving chemo a lot easier for her.
So for me,
it just, when I help somebody with this journey, it's like, because I haven't been diagnosed with the cancer, but I know this path and I know that system, it kind of helps me feel like I'm paying it forward in a way, and it helps me cope with that grief of like not having my mom here, because that's the kind of stuff that she would do.
You kind of got to learn from her too, in a sense, like watch how she moved through that. And the celebration. Well, and
instead of like dwelling
on her mom, I never met her mom. It's from my. It's not a regret. I'm sorry. I can't wait to meet your mom, because I guarantee you my old man. I guarantee you my mom and my old man and your mom are hanging out somewhere.
For sure.
And but anyway, I wish I could have met Brandy's mom, because but someone once told me, like, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't know your dad, but I didn't need to, because I know you. Right there.
I was going to say, I can tell where you get it.
She's like an ass-kicking cop. I mean, let's talk about your mom. Like, she was an ass-kicker cop, like ran marathons.
Yeah.
And just got this thing, and it took her down quick, but she got her shit in order. And, you know, took Brandy and her, and we talk about it in your podcast, but it's like a radio show. People tune in different times. You tell your story. I mean, like, she took her by her bedside and said,
So
days before her death, right?
Yeah. So she was born with a hereditary cancer mutation. So a broken gene that made her high risk for developing breast cancer. So she was born with an 87% risk. Never knew about it. So she was diagnosed at 35, and again at 38. Her care was mismanaged from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Oncologists made the wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. Surgeons made the wrong decisions because they did not know how to treat the cancer that she had. And looking back, if they would have done one simple blood test that was available, they would have known exactly what was driving this cancer. They would have known how to treat it. They would have known what surgeries to do, and they failed to do that. And so that's one reason I'm very passionate about what I do, is because there are things that we can do that really change the course. But my mom, she had us all around her bedside 3 days before she died. And she said, I expect you all to go to college. I expect you all to be contributing members of society. But I expect you to know your risk of cancer and do something about it, because I was never given the option. So I was tested when I was 19. I have that mutation also, so I'm high risk for breast, ovarian, pancreatic, and skin cancers. My brother, similar cancers and prostate cancer. So I had a preventative mastectomy when I was 22.
She's
so
Angelina Jolie of Nebraska, like, for real.
Honestly, I've had that conversation.
BRCA1.
Yep.
I would absolutely do that. So good for you.
It's just not worth it. So, you know, when we're kind of talking about this, it's like, it would have been really easy to be a victim in that mentality, right? Like, I lost my mom. It would have been really easy for me to, like, get into drugs and alcohol and all of those things. And people probably would have justified it, right? They would have been like, oh, but she lost her mom. And it kind of goes to one of the questions later on, you know. But I think finding something to help cope instead of like going down the wrong path, right? Like, it kind of helped me. I'm going to go this way, and what can I do to make sure that no one else goes through that?
We've talked about, like, is a massive expectation to you, and it's not. I mean, it's you like fulfilling your mother's wishes, right? I mean, it's what a wonderful gift she gave you. And there was, you know, we talk a lot on here about, because I've lost two parents, and it's all good. But I mean, there was nothing left unsaid between you and your mother.
Nope.
What a gift.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What a gift.
Not a lot of people get that opportunity.
No, I did.
Yeah.
But not people don't. So it's a lesson.
I've had friends that lose like their parents or siblings or somebody suddenly, and with how much regret they have of things that were left unsaid, or just like the shock of like, I can't believe that this happened. Yeah. I mean, I would never wish a cancer diagnosis upon anyone, right? Like, I feel like I watched my mom die several times, like starting with like her physical body. Like, she ran marathons and was our coach and did all these things, right? And then she wasn't able to do that, right? And she, at the end, she was paralyzed and she went blind. And so it was like you watched her die a couple different ways before it was finally over. But I don't know what would be harder, because that was really hard watching her go through that. And you never want to see somebody suffer. But also, I can't imagine not having, like, we went on the last vacation. We went, we did that. We had conversations. We had a lot of closure that I think a lot of other people don't have. So.
Yeah, and my I'll say it again. Sorry, listeners. Sorry, probably like 30 core people actually do listen to my podcast. But anyway, we did new people all the time. My physician friend told me to ask my dad, ask your dad things you're never going to get an answer to.
Yeah.
You know, because when they say when someone dies, it's like burning a library, which is very true. And so I'm like, well, like what, John? And he's like, well, how did your mom and dad meet? I had no clue. Mom and Art was already gone. I mean, I had no idea.
Right. Yeah.
And it was a very emotional experience even asking him that question. And so it is, it's a different experience when there's illness. But anyway, boy, old place today. Bree, why are you called to help?
Well, first of all, I'm probably going to go to my parents and give them a hug after this. So,
you should.
I'm very thankful to still have them now. I couldn't imagine losing anyone at 14, let alone like, I think about losing my mom. I don't know if anyone else says this, but I'm like, oh my God, what if my mom died? I need to call her right now. And like, I'm 32 and I feel like I wouldn't know what to do without her, you know? So thanks for sharing that.
Keep doing that.
Yeah. And you know, thankfully, like my mom is like one of those people like where I get my feeler tendencies that Sam loves. My mom like would literally never let us leave a room without saying I love you or like giving it like 1,000 times.
That's how I am as a mom.
I'm literally just going to the kitchen, like I'm not even leaving. So, and she's like, okay, but just give me a hug real quick. So but yeah, why was I called to help? Like when you first asked us that question, the first word that came to mind was just purpose. And just hearing your stories too, I think that's your purpose to you girls too. But you know, I think in a lot of ways, like, I didn't have a lot of help growing up, and I was forced to be, like, really self-sufficient, like, early on and just kind of, like, take care of myself or my siblings. And, you know, there's a lot of, like, stressful situations that happened growing up, and I had to kind of be the caretaker role a lot of times when I was, like, too young to have that role. So I think, like, the fact that, like, I didn't have help, I want to be, like, that vessel for somebody else. And even, like, you know, like, looking back on my childhood, like, what I do now, if you knew me as a kid, you'd be like, you are in the perfect position. Like, when I was a kid, like, I would round up, like, the neighborhood kids and for, like, a pool party, but I would make them do, like, boot camps. So, like, I'd put together, like...
LOL, right?
Like, I'd make, like, games and stuff, and I'd be like, okay, we can all jump in the pool, but you have to do 50 push-ups first, and whoever finishes first gets to have the whale.
Oh, my gosh.
I was, like, probably in fourth or fifth grade.
Oh my gosh. And now look.
And, like, there would be, like, all the kids, because, like, we lived in, like, a poorer neighborhood, and we were, like, one of the only, like, houses that had, like, a pool, and it was, like, one of those Walmart pools, but they were, like, 4 foot deep, and... My grandpa, like, built a deck so we could jump in it, and we had these, like, big blow-up whales, and, like, I'd always try to be the first one to get the whale so I could, like, ride on it while everyone else drowned. Right. Or not, like, drowned, but we'd play another game. And then I'd be like, okay, now we have to run around the block, and then whoever gets back first play war on the whale, and whoever falls off has to run again. And so... those are, like, the things that I would do, and, like, we were allowed to, like, rent 2 videos a week from Blockbuster, and I'd always get like a scary movie and then a workout video, and I'd just do it like 3 times a day, like as a kid.
That is so hysterical.
Now I'm like a coach and a trainer, so it's like I literally fell into the job that I asked for, like an encyclopedia on like the body anatomy and stuff, and I would like put my cousins through workouts over Christmas. So I think like looking back, I'm like, my purpose was definitely in health.
And leadership.
Yeah. And commanding classes and things like that. So, yeah, I definitely think like purpose is one. And just like throughout my life, like it's been like health and fitness has definitely been like at the forefront of my mind for no reason. I don't like, I was never taught that. Like my family wasn't like overly healthy. They didn't like have health or fitness at the forefront of their minds. I just was really fascinated by it. And it wasn't until later on in life, I like went through a period of like heavy like drug and alcohol use, and what you avoided, like, good for you, or as far as I know. So I went through that period, and then at one point I like got myself out of it, and as I was like working on myself, people, you know, were asking me for help, and I would, you know, give them some tips and stuff, and I was like, man, it feels good to like have people like ask me for help because they want to become better.
Yeah.
And so it was like a really slow trickle, I think, into my like mid-20s when I finally like took fitness and nutrition seriously as like a leadership role in that to help other people. So yeah, long-winded so way of just saying I feel like that was my purpose.
So no, these two, Jillian, describe like events or stuff.
I know.
You don't have it. It's just who you mean, are.
I kind
of, isn't that interesting? So there's
yeah,
no event,
I was a young or, mom, no and I think point. That, well, yeah, so I just didn't get like my 20s to grow up because I was a mom. And so like I was always kind of in that survival type of mindset.
How old are you when you had your first kid?
21.
Okay, yeah.
22 maybe. But anyway, I feel like I grew up with her, so, and still am figuring that out. But I think a lot of that, not like I felt like abandoned, but it was just like me and her, you know? And so I think like finding like, you know, being able to stand on your square, get your feet under you and be someone that can help other people. But I also was like that as a kid and in school, the leadership and that kind of thing, the first person to help. But I think like being in a vulnerable state for sure makes you want to be like, can I be on the other side of needing help? You know what I mean? Like,
see, that's weird to me because if I'm in a vulnerable state, I'm insecure.
See, I actually read something. I actually think this is from the Bible. But vulnerability, I don't read the Bible. But
it's just funny how you're like, I think it's actually from the Bible.
It might be. I mean, it's one of the most quoted books probably out there.
Fair. Very fair.
Fact check what you're about to say.
Yeah, like fact check me, but I'm sure I could say anything. You might find it in the Bible. Who knows? But it was vulnerability breeds vulnerability. And one of my friends shared it with me years ago because I was like really shy about sharing my story to people because I don't know if I was necessarily embarrassed about it or I just didn't want to talk about myself or what, but like, I was never super open about like how I got to where I am. And I was like, man, that's kind of crazy. Cause like a lot of like our members at the gym or like clients don't really know that like I had the same struggles. They just see who I am now. And like,
right.
You know, so it's like hard to be like, listeners, you don't
check out episode 217 if you want to hear her story.
Yeah. It's a little emotional.
Oh, I love that.
But when she told me that, I was like, you know, like maybe if I'm a little bit more open about it, it'll help me help people more. And yeah. I think like when I did accept that, like one, it just feels really good to like open up your heart a little bit and not be so, it takes a lot more energy to be closed off than it does to be open. And then people are more likely, I think, to, when they're in a vulnerable state, they're like, oh, okay, like she gets it too, you know, it's okay to open up about this or ask for help.
It's that quote, like when you let your own light shine, it gives other people like permission to do that.
Yeah, that's really good. Probably from the Bible too, right?
Yeah, or maybe Brene Brown. Yeah, our little IG posts, but maybe also the Bible. We're going to look later.
Don't fact check anything that we say.
This is all opinion based. Thank you. But no, I think you're right. That's how like on like my own podcast, I talk a lot. Like I did an episode, like I tried to take my own life when I was 17 years old. And people are like, wow, but I have a very like curated vulnerability. So I don't like feel super all the way proud. Like I'm so open because I'm not about everything. But I definitely think like you say, like when you take ownership of like whatever it may be, like you can live like that with confidence and it lets other people be like, okay, like this person's out here, they're confident, they're doing their thing, whatever it may be. And they also, you know, own the things that they've been through. And it's like you say, when you're so closed off, it just starts breeding shame. Like you don't want to share, you don't want to, it feels embarrassing. And so it just is this really negative cycle. So I think, you know, good for you, first of all. Because it is hard to kind of make that transition to being more open.
And I feel like we live in a society now where everything's like perfection, like mm-hmm. your posts and your gosh. Instagrams and all of the things, right? Yeah. So it's like, yeah. it's harder to be vulnerable because yes. everyone just wants to put out these little snippets of their perfect lives, like, right? Curated. And like mm-hmm. suicide rates, I think, have continued to go up, so, right?
Yeah,
and I think
it's, they should.
You know,
especially and it would. Like, I shouldn't say should. Teenagers and yes. kids, like young kids.
I think it's that point. Like, I think people are so afraid to be vulnerable and they think that like this little thing that goes wrong in my life is it. That's the yeah. end, and I will never know the end of it, right? And that's just not the way it is. And if we were all a little yeah. more vulnerable, and if we all kind of like opened up to each other, maybe we would all know, like, hey, somebody else has been through this too. They just don't
right.
talk about it yes. because they're embarrassed or whatever yes. because it's not fitting into this perfect little box that we can yes. share on Instagram.
Or even then there's like the flip side too of you see people who are like, oh, I'm being so vulnerable and I'm like crying in my car, and it's like, I don't know if like that's the type of vulnerability like
no, people are looking for. No, I think it's like the authentic.
Yes.
And that's really hard to like define because yes. I think like that authenticity is like the number one thing in like relationship building. Mm-hmm. But it's also kind of like you say, when all, especially our young kids growing up, all they know is like a curated feed of like Kardashians and oh there's God. No but that's in like that's even programmed in my mind, and like I have the discernment to be like, okay, that's not her real face or her real body, but in my brain I'm getting dressed and I'm still like, ooh, you know what I mean, like it's still in my brain. And so it's weird like that you say that, and so that's part of like I think being authentic in a way where you're like, maybe you're a hot mess in that moment. Like, that's more of what people need to see, because that's what's
yeah, real. Embrace the mess, guys.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and like, even thinking about like, we're our age, like, being like our age group in millennials, like, it's I think so we're weird. Kind of in the middle.
We're like half and half.
Yeah. So we had like, we grew up without a lot of that technology or but like then Instagram. We had to
learn it.
And then we had it too. And like, think about like when we were in like middle school and stuff, it's like there wasn't as much. Especially like older elementary and like middle school, like there wasn't as much like Instagram or Facebook. Like you didn't just scroll on your phone.
I feel like when did Facebook happen?
I think it was like high school yeah. maybe.
And
yeah.
You had to be invited.
You know, like, so it's like AIM, you know, we're like messaging yes. each other yes. and you could have like your little, you know, 200 character like little profile and you would update oh gosh, it, you know?
So yeah.
But like that was, it was like MySpace. More instant messenger. And then yeah, MySpace. Yes. Then it was like, who are my top friends this week? Who am I mad at? I'm going to move yeah. them down. You know?
Well, and it's like, think about like how small our world was and when it was just like in your school, and then now you have like
yes.
TikTok and Instagram, and that's showing
flood.
You
blood
everyone mm-hmm. yeah. So it's hard to not compare, and I and kids, like teenagers, don't have the wherewithal to like discern, no, like is this real, is yes. this not mm-hmm. like is this how my life should be, should it not be, you know, is this person really happy, like they don't ask that, they're just like, I don't have any of those things,
right,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, it is crazy, and so much stuff that's just like curated to get like likes and mm. you know what I mean, it's not even real.
So then like your happiness and purpose is based off of like who's liking my photos or yes, who's whole following me, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah, it's
tough way to come up. Oof.
I know, I really feel like I hate that mm-hmm. for kids.
Terrible. Okay, vulnerability. Remind me after this podcast when the recorder's off, I'll give you girls
something nice.
Oh, yes. Vulnerable about this morning. Anyway, I'm not going to tell listeners.
that's okay.
Not that vulnerable.
No, not that vulnerable. my wife, Heather, she's not here today. You probably wonder why, because she's being a helper, because Heather's, you know Heather, she's a helper. She's helping her sister. She is the Myers-Briggs type the counselor, which Brandy is the yeah. counselor.
What are those letters?
I don't remember, but it's called the counselor if you go to 16personalities.com.
I know.
But one of the things that I learned through her Gallup strengths is, and I'm not very good at this, is that Heather will help, but you've got to fill her cup up. You know, you can't be a drain cup and help somebody, which yes. I learned.
Yep.
And so my question is, what, you know, sometimes when you guys give so much, does it drain you?
I literally had this like conversation. I had like a little mini B the other day.
I just use that. It's mental breakdown yeah. for anyone
please
who's
explain
listening.
To
a mentee B.
What?
It's like, just a little mentee bee, but it was a mental breakdown. You lost your mind.
A mentee bee?
Yeah.
But M-E-N-T-Y.
I learned more.
It just trivializes. I have all the middle school lingo if you guys want to.
I just learned what Riz is the other day.
For yep, there series. It is. It's short for, it's like from charisma.
I actually just learned that the other day too. Yeah.
So you got a minty bee. Right, a minty bee. I've never heard
it. Just
that
really
one.
Trivializes that? No, the fact that you're losing your mind.
Minty bee. All right. Sorry to interrupt your minty bee. Fine.
I'm glad everyone got to really lighten the message. Yeah. No, I was like, this doesn't happen often. And I don't even like sharing it because I never want people to think I'm like getting overwhelmed. But I was just like, I was going through like a lot of things, like obviously Sam, you know, like possible like surgery coming up, like moving, I have a lot of like life changes coming up. And then, you know, like I tend to be one of those people that like when I'm stressed, I tend to overwork myself a little bit and like take more work on because it's something that fulfills me. But then I almost do it so much to the extent that like the words that I said, I was like midway through tears, I was like, I just like that. I was like, I just feel like I'm supporting so many people and no one's supporting me. Oh, and like, I had this like mental breakdown.
Seriously.
And like immediately afterwards, I was like, oh, I feel better. I feel good now. I can like go do this. But I had to do like take a day where I just like, you know, I like put myself in a book, like didn't do anything. I stayed home and just like refilled my cup so that I could like.
But you refill your cup on your own. How come you don't let other people refill your cup?
Well,
that's a pretty personal direct question.
I work a very like extroverted job, but I'm naturally more of an introvert. So my mind
is Bree is really interesting. Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
She is super interesting. She's like the nicest person I know at the gym. I call her CNG, Coach Nice Guy. Have for years. Just fun to be around. You should hear her laugh at the gym, you know, and she's just funny. But then she just like, she goes home and like isolates herself with her cat. Is this all right to say all this shit?
Yeah, that's
and do the same. Like, I can't wait to hear her.
She like isolates herself with her cats and watches like horror films. Like,
oh, that I would never have
hell?
Said that.
Like,
I love that for
what
you.
What the hell is going on here, dude? And so filling you're a very, very interesting person.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting. You'd be very shocked, but every single one of us coaches at the gym are introverts naturally. We all did like the Myers-Briggs and we all had introverted.
What are your letters?
Annika is?
INFJ. Yes.
Mm.
Really?
Yep. Actually,
Bent, yeah.
Yep.
I'm trying to go through the coaches.
Christina was the only one that had an E, but she's naturally an introvert too, so I was a little intrigued by that one. But yeah, I definitely.
I never thought about that, but I guess that's true. They're all eyes.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah, so we are, but you know, when I'm in a place that I'm really comfortable or passionate about, like exercise and fitness, like I can be very extroverted, but and like the difference.
I mean, extroverted, she ran a class of how many people were in there
yesterday?
You guys
are the same.
30 people?
Close to, not quite 30, but pretty close.
I mean, it was, by the way, it was a killer class yesterday.
They're both INFJs.
It's hard to.
Most rare personality type. Oh, yeah.
The counselor is the INFJ, and that's what she is.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was the advocate. Maybe it is the counselor. But I know it's like very like all the descriptions in the INFJ are like that's a coach. Like a coach of some sort. But yeah, like the difference between like an introvert and extrovert is literally just like if you're in a social setting, does it fill your cup or drain your cup? So like by the end of the day, sometimes I will like get in the car and not even realize that I haven't turned the radio on. It's just been silent and I'm like too. Just like that's just how I fill my cup, and then of course I like true crime because I don't know, crazy. I heard that like if you we were talking about this yesterday at the gym, like if you listen to true crime and it calms
like,
you down,
zone out through that. Yeah
it's like either there's like
a sociopath or something.
Yes, like one of two things. Like one was like if you grew up around like trauma like that, like kind of.
It's
you're
homey
like
for you.
Yeah. Which isn't necessarily a good thing. And I can't remember what the other one was.
I think it's a good thing. But
yeah. But yeah, so me and my cat just sit there and listen to a true crime podcast or watch a scary movie. So
you isolate, I mean, you go home and fill up your own cup. That's how you deal with being drained.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mindfulness.
I have had to really like create an infrastructure in my life.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry, but do you get drained when you help a lot?
Oh, absolutely.
Like every day? Like you have got a lot going on.
Yep.
You're like four businesses, four kids, all this stuff.
But I really do think like knowing yourself, because this, and one of our questions made me think about like wanting to talk about this. But so many people have like expectations for themselves and they kind of like project it onto like you when they're talking to you. And I live a very like fast paced life like you're talking about, but it feels good to me. And so it's hard for me to kind of like explain that to people, but I do know myself enough to know like when I'm touched out, when I'm tapped out, like when I'm, you know. And I teach school all day and it's like a job where you are 100% on. Mm-hmm. And I think like Bree talking about like the coaching, that's the same thing too. Like your role is to be the leader, mm-hmm. and to facilitate. You don't, and it's not passive. Like it's a very active job or expectation that you have. And I think as a helper, it is a very active role and position that you're doing. And so you are on and it is more draining. Like that's just the nature of it. And I would get really like, can I say bitchy?
Yeah,
sorry.
I just did.
I'm really sorry. super like short and bitchy and like I'll know myself like, okay, well, what have you done today? Literally nothing for yourself. Okay. So then I started to like backwards plan my life. Like I know that by this time of the day, I get really touched out, really tapped out. And I can't do that because I have to go show up for my own family, right? And so I started just this year like doing a little micro like habit tracker. But I felt that like if I start my day where I'm like paying myself first, mm-hmm. I'm doing all the things I need, then my day is not as focused around that active 100% like being on because I've done stuff for myself already. So I have to have that like preventative kind of, I guess, infrastructure in my life. Then I can do all of that. And then I know like, okay, you need to eat, you need to sleep, all this stuff. So if I plan it enough, then that keeps my cup full. And I don't function well when I go empty. Mm-hmm. If I start to go empty, I just don't even want to go there. So I do a lot of just prevention and making sure I don't kind of tap out. But I have a lot of like coping things that I will do.
And one of the things that you've done recently is something that I wanted you, I just knew that you'd be a great candidate for.
What is it?
For years, a little thing called CrossFit.
Oh, yeah. And you tried to get me to go and I was secretly pregnant and it was so right. funny.
Right.
Yeah. So I started CrossFit and everyone's like, are you scared you're going to get bulky? And I'm like, listen, if I get bulky, good for me because it takes a lot of time and
yeah,
effort.
Girl. Okay. Preach it.
So what?
Well, I've seen her lifts, Bree. I mean, like she's.
I'm a very fast learner.
She is. I went down there with you, and it was the first day that she'd ever done power cleans in a WOD, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, she's good.
That's awesome. I have a very, fast processing, like, brain. I know that sounds
good. Do you do yoga, too?
No, oh, but I danced, and I mean, I, like, will go do it. Oh, so, like,
body awareness, too? Yeah.
Yes.
But I see her little numbers on her deadlift. She's very transparent. She even tells people how many downloads she has on her podcast.
I tell everybody everything. And you know why? Because, Brandy, like we were talking about, everything you see on the internet is so perfect and curated. I want people to know, like,
well,
there are steps.
All I know is, what was your... So let's just talk, since you're transparent and brag, because I'm proud of you.
He thinks I brag. No.
I'm proud of you. I see your deadlift numbers, dude.
I did you 205 or something.
Yes. And it was like a month ago, it was like 40 pounds less than that, right? Yeah.
That's such a helper thing to say too. Like she's like, oh, he thinks I brag. And I think like when you do like coach people or help people in some way, you're always like emphasizing everyone else's wins. And,
I
like,
know. I oh, literally gosh, hate job. It.
And then like you don't always have those people to do that for you. And then you're like, hey, like,
and like having conservative parents, like my parents were always like, I'm not going to brag about you. Like that's just how, so it's super uncomfortable for me.
Yeah. My dad almost
like, please stop talking about me.
Joke I have to repeat because again, people tune in, they tune out. But my dad used to say, my dad used to talk like this because Jill knew him, right?
I know he did.
My dad like, I showed him, there was a, what happened
that's
was
there
was
like
there
too.
Was a
like that's so accurate.
It was campaign the election magazine top 500 political influencers in America, and I was on the list.
Wow!
Okay. And oh, look at me! But anyway, when he was dying, and I had a chance to talk. It was this very same conversation. I asked him about what he did. Anyway, my mom left, but I showed him that, and he just said, he was just so frustrated. He's like, I wish I knew what the hell you did so I could brag about you. Anyway.
I love that, though. But it is like it's just, you know, a generational difference, I feel like.
that. And so, you know, when that's like your parents, it's your norms. So it feels awkward.
Yeah. You're being quiet for over sure. here, yeah, Brandy. Sorry, Brandy. This is the quietest I've ever heard Brandy my entire life.
I love Brandy is the
person.
Guys.
She's the person that she'll critique my podcast, and then I'll get like 50 texts, like, "Yeah, but this." And she's like debating the person on the podcast. You literally need
people like that in your life.
Oh my god! And she just on. I'm like, I can't get a word in edgewise. And today she's not saying a word.
No, I'm listening. This is really
absorbing.
So what happens when you get drained? Do you get drained when you help people a lot?
Well, it depends. Like, sometimes I feel like it's really overwhelming, but other times I feel like it's very fulfilling and I need that to fill my cup. Also, like, I'm the person, like, I need to get out of my house. I need to talk to people. I'm an introvert, but also, like, I can't sit in my house or I'm going to go crazy, you know?
What is an ambivert?
I feel you on that. And I think, like, I don't know if, like, your job, you work with people, like, all day long, but by the end of the day, I've probably, like, talked to hundreds of people.
Yeah.
So I think it just, like, drains me a little faster. If I was at home, like, I could totally see why you would,
like, I have to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just, like, walk around Target or go to the car wash. Like, during COVID, it was like, can we just, like, go through the car wash? Because I cannot be in this house anymore. Like, I need a change of scenery. So sometimes it's very fulfilling to be helping, but other times it can be draining if it's too much, right? Like two people leave for the day. The winter is really hard. I feel like the sunshine, like sun, that is like a cure to my soul.
Egghead alert.
I track my sleep on Whoop. I know she sleeps too. It's very, very, she's terrible, but, I have good sleep, but in January, when it was all cold and that, my recovery sucked.
I know.
And it's directly related to the sunshine. There's no doubt about it. Go ahead.
Yeah. We're all just big plants.
We are big plants.
Yeah. So like vitamin just D. When it's nice out, like just potting plants or gardening or like being outside, like unplugging, like not having, like I'm going to spend a day and I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm not going to answer text messages. I'm not looking at Instagram and Facebook and all the things. Like, that fills me up faster than anything. You just don't realize like how fast that stuff drains you, even if you're just like casually scrolling, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what I do.
Yeah.
Time with family and friends.
And you know, critique my podcast and 50 texts in a chain. Thanks, dude.
I had to learn the lesson of like accepting stuff like that. And I always would take it so personal. So I love that dynamic because I feel like everybody needs that.
Yeah.
So listen to mine and send me some.
Yeah, Sam, I feel like it's not bad critiquing. Usually I'm agreeing with things.
Huh? I know. Well, I wanted
it's
to talk
about sensory overload.
But it's like I wanted to talk about something else in the text, but you're still on this thing.
She needed to finish her thought, okay?
I'll get back
I had to tell
month.
You about why I'm a J-sker. That's why
oh,
I'm
God.
That's a J-sker.
Oh, God.
Oh, you weren't here for that conversation.
What is that?
It's something I don't like.
Oh, no.
At all. Husky it goes fans. Against every fiber of my being. That's what it is.
You're both.
Has to be I don't do sports. Disloyal people.
And I
treasonous people. But anyway,
she was like quarterback, and I was like, I'm blacking out. I don't know what that means.
Is that baseball?
Right.
Which one?
It's terrible.
We maybe have covered this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What do helpers do when they need help? What do you do when you need help, Bree?
Oh my gosh,
I'm the worst. when I need help, well, I think something that Jillian mentioned is like, knowing when you're getting to that point of being like a little drained and like burnt out. And I think that just comes with like age and maturity is absolutely. Knowing when you're getting there and not waiting till it's too late is very important. But when I need help, I just really go to like someone that I trust. Actually, Nissa sent me something really cool not too long ago. All I know is a guy on Instagram's name is like Steven, but he's like a public speaker and he's always got very like fascinating.
Furtick, Stephen Furtick.
No, not the pastor, but he's got some pretty good stuff too. But he said something like, when you're down or you need help, like him and his friends text each other and just say, hey, do you have 8 minutes? Because 8 minutes of talking with a friend is like just as good as like counseling or something like that. And
you guys
only
need two, so.
Yeah, well, I
the man brain, am I right?
Something I like realized, there's like a couple people that I just always feel really good about myself after I talk with them. Yeah. Like I feel better when I talk to them than before I talk to them. And it doesn't really matter like what the like topic is, but yeah, just like a safety net. And you know, this speaker said like, you know, if we're having a hard time, I just text my friend and say, hey, do you have 8 minutes? And they know that that's a phone call where they're just there on the other end to listen and support. Mm-hmm. And if it's a tearful conversation, if he's crying or if he's angry or just needs to vent something, no matter how, like, minuscule the situation is or how mm-hmm. serious it is, he just needs to talk about it. And, like, afterwards, you'll feel so much better just, like, talking about that. So mm-hmm. I have, like, a couple really, like, close friends in my circle that, like, I know I could probably honestly, it happened, like, 2 weeks ago. One of my best friends, like, somehow the topic before 8 a.m., I don't know how we got on such a serious topic, but... It was literally like I was like brushing my teeth, and then I
do you have 8 minutes.
Yeah, I received a text from her, and she was like, "Hey, it just like ran across my heart that I feel like I should ask you like how you're doing." Ugh. And I was like, "Man, that's like that was like an answered prayer that I needed because mm-hmm. like a couple days prior to that, I'm like, man, I don't know if I should like talk to anyone about this or just keep it to myself." And when she asked me that, I was like, "Yeah, I actually really." Need to talk to someone. And she's like, I'll make time in my day, let me know when you have time. And she came over and gosh. I like it was like one of the best, nicest things anyone's ever done for me mm-hmm. ever. And like to literally drop everything in her day to just hear me like talk about yeah. something that was on my heart, I was like, man. So just like having those like couple people in your mm-hmm, circle mm-hmm. And just talking.
Well, and like to have her reach out and say yes. like, I'm going to come over instead of like, well, I'm here if you need me.
Yes.
Because then it's like impossible to like be like, well, this is what I need. And sometimes we don't even know what we need, right? Mm-hmm. And so for her to like be there, it's like, this is exactly what I needed.
That was, yeah. I mean, I literally couldn't tell you. Like, it gives me goosebumps because I literally like had like, I'm not much of like a prayer, yeah. but like I feel like
a spiritual
prayers get answered, like even mm-hmm. if you're not necessarily like intentionally praying for it. And I remembered being very conflicted about like sharing something that was on my heart. And like when she asked me that, I'm like, I've been friends with her for years and she's never like asked me anything like
that. Oh, that gives me
yeah. I mean, really, like it was a perfect timing. And I was like, yeah, if you have time around noon today, she's like, I'm on my way after my group meeting and I'll be there. And she showed up and just sat there and listened to me for like 20 minutes
that
just
is insane.
Talk and cry. And
yeah,
it was the most relieving thing. I think I yeah. felt like I got years off my chest right there.
And there was a question earlier that was like, how do you find people to help? And I wrote down, honestly, it's a God thing. And I feel like that is like yes. your friend just had like an intuitive feeling to reach mm-hmm. out. Like, and sometimes we're just put on each other's paths for a specific yes. reason. And there's no other way to explain it other than like, it's a God thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
She was just there at the right time.
Oh, yeah. I remember actually now like what got us in the conversation. Like somehow, like I said, it was before 8 a.m. I struggled really badly with like depression and like suicidal thoughts like not last year but like the year prior to that mm-hmm. And it was like really bad to the point that I was on medication and you know seeking therapy and things like that, but I never talked about it with anybody, and I think mm-hmm. that was the worst thing I could have done. I got through it and I'm you know got off medication. I feel really good now. I'm in a really good place. But she didn't know that either, and we were like best friends during that time. And when mm-hmm. I told her that, she's like, I can't believe I didn't notice. Like, I feel so bad about that. And then she was like, do you want to talk about any of it? And I was like, honestly, yeah. And,
yeah.
you know, she showed up, and just showing up for people is,
and, like, know. Being a helper, I feel like those conversations are really hard, too, right? Yes. Because we're yeah. the ones that, like, bring people up. And so if we talk to somebody else about yeah. what we're struggling it's with, so, like, it, like, brings natural. Them down, right? Like, we don't want to be that person that's, like, the Debbie a Downer,
burden.
Right?
Right. Yeah, I'll feel like a burden.
Well, and, like, my, like, nickname at the gym when I first started there was Joy Girl. Like, people just, when they see me, I'm smiling and I'm
CNG,
bubbly.
CNG, right? CNG.
Even when I'm, like, hurting, I am, like, my smile's not fake, but, like, there's still things going on.
Lots of
and
masking.
So it's hard to, mm-hmm. like, I don't want people to see me in a different way if they're like, so are you faking it when you're happy or is
Have
this
you
real?
Have you seen that, like, recently I just shared, it was, like, a men's mental health video, but it was, like, these two guys at, like, a sporting event. Have you guys seen that video?
No.
And it was, like, there's this one that was just a very matter of fact, and he was just sitting there, and it was, like, men's mental health the whole time. And then his friend just was coming in. It was, like, what's wrong with you, man? And he was just very, like, energetic, whatever. And it showed, like, a few different games, them coming back, and it was, like, the energized friend who took his life and not the one that it thought that you were, like, looking at this sad, depressed one. But then they came back, and that was the one, and it was, like, this thing from mental health. And I think yeah. that's, I mean, that was like my thing. Mm-hmm. I was like the perfect high school kid. No one had any idea and everything was great. But that's a lot of that, you know, we hide because we know.
Yeah, and don't so many of those kids, like, be you that hear people say, I never would have thought they would have done that. Yeah.
Yep.
The episode's up. I hope you all listen to the episode that's up this week, because I talked to a comedian that deals with this, and I've never had someone tell me that most of my life, the majority of my life, every day I woke up hoping this would be the day that I died. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. I can't relate to that.
What this makes me think about is kind of how we were talking about how curated everything that we are seeing, you know, and even our interactions. I think like the power of an actual relationship with people is so like overlooked, because we think we know people because we see what they're doing and all of this stuff. But like, you have to really get to know people and be in like a very shared, vulnerable space friendship to kind of have that, and to just... In my friend group, it's the same thing. So when you were talking about like having those people in place, and we do in our friend group, pulse check. And that's what you say. Like, you haven't heard from somebody in a while. Maybe you think something's going on with them, and you just send a pulse check. And that's what you say. It's like, okay, you're not acting how like you normally are. I haven't really heard from you or whatever in a while. And that's just what we kind of say. And I swear every single time I'm like, oh, do I say something? Do I not? Do I open up? I will get a pulse check. Like in my messages.
Wow, I love
just
that.
As yeah. Like, yep. So I think like in it is, it's so vulnerable to have real relationships with real people. And in our day and age, like it's just, you don't, and learning how to navigate that and learning how to show up for people. And am I overstepping or am I blah, blah, blah. And I just like a good friend and I had like, you know, we needed to have a moment where we were had a hard conversation with each other. And I remember being like, no, we are friends. We talk to each other like this. There's none of this like pleasantry or I don't want to do this or I don't want to overstep. No. When you're friends with people, mm-hmm. you show up for them. And maybe it's awkward and maybe you might overstep or whatever, but like you will repair because you are in a relationship. So I think like having actual friends is like a thing. Mm-hmm. And you have to be very purposeful with that, because you just can't, there's no replacement for it, for someone saying, hey, haven't heard from you. Are you okay? Pulse check, whatever you want to call it. But you can't do that with the internet, and you can't do that without vulnerability. You know? Yeah.
And I think like, I don't know if you guys think this too, but I feel like people think it's like maybe like cool to be really guarded about their emotions and things. And I think when you're not open about it, like that conversation opened up so many things, like years of things that we hadn't talked about too. And I think like when you're open, vulnerability breeds vulnerability, you know, it's like you open up this new vessel of trust and relationship building, like you said. It just takes so much more energy to be so guarded and closed off from people than to just share something with them, you know, an important conversation or an important topic.
Yeah. And that friend might be going through something too. And like that conversation was probably equally beneficial for that friend, right? Like think about like when we're helping people and how like helping fills our cup, right? Like helping probably filled your friend's cup too, you know? And so we have to like remember like our hardships are not burdens for other people. Like allowing them to help us and us helping them, like that's what we're here for. Like interpersonal relationships is like human nature. And I feel like we lose that in today's society, right? Like we're not getting that out of texting, right? Like versus like even just a phone call or meeting in person. Like we need that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just like, it just builds so much more trust and like openness. And even if the conversation, like you said, is like a tough conversation, like I would much rather someone bring something to my attention, even if it's something I'm doing wrong. Because, like, after we leave that conversation, I'm going to feel a lot better because the tension's no longer there. Absolutely. Like, it clears a lot of tension as well.
Yeah,
totally.
Gosh.
Okay. Sam. Trying to breathe over here. Jesus Christ.
Holding his breath the whole entire time.
He's like turning blue. The last two podcasts have been rough on Sam. He's like, whoa, shit.
Are you softening in your old age? Uh-huh. What? Nothing.
He's like, no.
Yeah, you're doing great.
So something that recently came up in one of your social medias, I think one of you two, I'm not sure. But did you answer your question? Did you answer the question?
I don't think so.
I'm running over the top of her. I'm the sorry, one that, shut up.
What do you do when you need help, Brandy Preston?
I want to hear this.
What do I do when I need help?
Did I even answer this? I'm just yapping.
You answer first. I don't know how to answer this.
I think you went 1, 2, and 3.
What did I say?
I don't know. I'm still stuck on my answer.
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Oh. I think similar. Like, when I need help, like, I'll reach out to a friend. Like, last week, I was like by myself and I was like, I just need like somebody, right? And I reached out to my friend Audra and I was like, are you around for dinner tonight? Like, let's go to dinner, you know? And it was just like exactly what I needed. Like, I wasn't in a dark place. It was just like, Scott's flying and Peyton's with his dad and I'm just here and I just need like somebody that's like my person, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just like, hey, can I come pick you up? Let's go to dinner, you know? And it was like great conversation. It was like, that fills your cup, you know? And sometimes we just need that.
Yeah.
I don't think I did answer this because I have no answer. I'm very bad. If I need help, I just will journal and figure it out.
I mean, that's a way of...
I'm not, like, very great at being, like, I'm struggling right now. That's something I'm working on, but I'm not good at that.
Maybe this is your challenge that...
I know. I'm like, I need to be better.
Pulse check with myself.
I know.
I'm going to answer because this is a tough question. Sam, what do you do?
Sam, what do you do when you need help?
I talk to Bree, or I'll talk to Jill, or I'll talk to Brandy.
Oh, wow. Aww. Look at that.
Actually, I'll talk to...
Actually,
the truth of the matter is I'll talk to my wife.
Right. Yeah.
First.
I think we can all find some solace in talking to your wife.
My wife is the best guidance counselor you'll ever find. I have my little army of people.
I like different people that I want
at my table. I posted something about people sitting at your table.
Yeah. Yeah.
And intentionally, you know, they're sitting at your table for a reason. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that aren't invited to your table.
Mm-hmm.
You all are invited to my table. That's what I would do if I needed.
And I just don't even know how to say it.
Heather's so good. Like, she's such a confidant. You know, like, whatever you tell her is not going to, like, get sway out. Her, you know, you're not, it's no. not,
and she's like a calming presence. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. Yeah, I love, like, I gravitate towards, like, people with that, like, persona.
Yeah.
Because I'm such, like, a, you know?
Like, when you're up here, you need other people.
Yes. Like, so I love when people are so calm.
My sister-in-law, God bless her, Gina, we love you, but you're a spaz, and you'll admit it. Her and Gina like that too. Are like, Gina just like, how are you so calm? Like, how, he's like, just
and it's so centering.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she is. She's...
I feel like I'm getting that from you. That
vibe. Yes, absolutely. You're like an angel.
Oh. I know. I'm like, I just want to like touch my shoulder to her shoulder. Maybe I will like put a calming like radiation.
Like her aura.
Me.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I can get really fired up though. And when I do, it's like, look out.
That's even more awesome.
And don't... Yeah, Heather, the same way. I've had... Yeah. It's been 31 years, but she did throw a shoe at me once.
What's like the one thing that would get you like then, really right? fired up where you're like, ooh, yeah, don't even get me started.
Out of character.
I'll totally. Like, I'll yell. I'll be not very nice, which I'm not proud of all the time, but I feel like it gets like point of people are like, oh boy.
Like, we're like over here. We're like, yeah, keep going.
I know. Like,
show us your bad side.
And there was just this week, a friend of mine was diagnosed with breast cancer and they were like, you know, here's the group of doctors that are going to be in this multidisciplinary meeting. And this one oncologist is awful. And I was like, absolutely not. And I like went on a tirade.
Yes, you did.
And
advocate.
I don't feel bad, you know, and I don't feel bad about it. So it's like, you know, like sometimes there's things that need to be said and this is how I feel. And, you know, I'll tell you if, oh, that person's okay or, you know, whatever. This person's really good. You have a really good team, but this one, absolutely not.
So did your friend kick that person the hell off?
Uh-huh.
Good.
That's why we need that.
This oncologist will be in the meeting on Tuesday, but we can take what she has to say, but she absolutely will not be your oncologist. And that has been made clear to the other providers that are on her team that this one will not be part of it, but we need a consultation.
Just changing lives, man.
Do you so good, feel though. Like there's like more like good oncologists than bad or vice versa? And I'm only asking because I had a conversation with someone at the gym today about it, and he works in medical sales and was not super positive about oncology.
Yeah, so I'm in a similar field, and I won't narrow. I mean, we have a pretty small oncology network in Omaha, so I don't want to narrow it down to specifically oncologists, but I would say the list of providers that I would give you that are good healthcare providers is a lot smaller than the bad ones. There's a lot more people I would say don't go to versus the ones I would say absolutely this one's amazing, go to this person. And we are very blessed. We have a lot of good healthcare providers here, but there are definitely some that are in it for money. Or
that's what I was going to ask is, like, what do you think separates the good from the bad?
So much work to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And not like, care
well,
what
I know the best neurologist in town.
I do too. John Puente all day long.
You'll love this because he listens to this podcast.
Yeah. And you know what? Speaking of him, like, he is one that really actually cares about people. So I work in, you know, cancer and prenatal, and he's a neurologist, right? So, like, not often are those things crossing paths.
Right.
And he'll be like, text me, like, hey, I had a patient with this family history. Should they have genetic testing? And he'll help connect that person to that, right? And that's not his specialty, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that is not what that patient is there for.
Awareness.
But he, it's about the wellness of that patient in front of him. And I think that that's really what separates the good providers from the not so good providers.
It's like the willingness to also, like, refer out of their field.
Yes. Yeah. And there's so many that are like, this is my job and this is all that I'm going to do. And I think our society has kind of bred that culture too, with, like, you know, litigation.
I'm not responsible for this.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Nobody wants to, you know, take the extra step because then they could be liable for taking that extra step. Right. But I think we need more of that. Like, people that are, like, comprehensive and are going to work together.
Yes.
Because that's definitely a barrier. So.
Well, and especially because it's like the human body. Like, it doesn't work as separate parts. Like, it's symbiotic in a way, like, in crazy ways. So, going to several different providers for different things could get you completely different answers.
That's why I want to do a collaborative, because I don't have the time, or nobody has the money, or I don't have the money, nobody has the time. I want you, and I want Kasselbauer, and I want Simon's in on this now too, since he was bitching at me. I wasn't lifting enough weight the other day.
He told me that.
And I want my stretch person there.
Yeah.
And I want my chiropractor there, and I want Dr. Devin there, my PT there.
I love
all
Devin.
You,
yes.
All you damn people in one room. And I'm going to run this damn meeting. And
give me the once over, team.
That's what you say.
Give me the once over, team.
You better have
I'm going to give them the once over.
Because it's like, look out.
I mean, there's just, because.
So many moving parts.
I am a mess. I mean.
Are you?
When you need, I am a mess. Like, when you need to, like, this week, I need to, like, use the handrails to get up and downstairs, okay? I'm
what
a mess.
Been eating?
Which is, like, so awesome, too.
Actually, all of you do, because Christian actually said something the other day. I go, how do you feel? He came right in the gym, and I said, are you sore, Christian? He goes, I'm very sore. I'm like, that's good, Christian. I mean, it's like, we're all sore. But anyway,
That would be like a really that would be a really cool collab, because, well, obviously, like, Ben, Kyle, and I
could be written.
Yes, Ben, Kyle, and I obviously, like, work together. We have a lot of, like, we're passionate about a lot of the same things. But, like, even with, like, Devin and things like that, like, we all have the same, like, we're all, like, on the same page a lot without even realizing it. So I think
did you know Devin listens to the podcast. I wonder if it's okay to say. Yeah, it's okay. I'm the patient. I'm not violating anything.
HIPAA.
Devin wanted me to, like, take a day off. Like, to just take a day off of the, I mean, like, go from 4 workouts a week to 3.
Yeah.
And I did that for a while. Did you know that?
Well, I don't think she can technically share that with me.
Like, did you notice?
Oh, no, I never told you. So, why would you know? That's why I need a freaking collaborative. So everybody understands why Sam's gone to the gym on Wednesdays, because I freaking taken the day off.
Good for you.
And now we're getting all excited here. Okay. Next question. Moving on to the next question. One of you two had something about a force multiplier. We're talking about a force multiplier the other day on social media.
More information about that. What?
Do you know what it is?
A force multiplier.
I don't know. I thought you'd tell me. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. Did you have something about force multiplier the other day?
What was it? Like, what was the subject on?
Well, it's basically kind of what we've talked. I think the answer is kind of what we've talked about, in the sense that we're all walking each other home, Jillian Watts.
Hey.
It
False multiplier. I thought
false or force?
Force.
I don't think so. Force? Was it like a story?
Yeah, it was like an IG story I saw or something.
Okay.
So you kids, you post stuff about it, you don't really know what you're talking about, or you don't remember it.
Being a force multiplier on your team means having a positive impact that amplifies the efforts of others and enhances the overall performance. It's like we is greater than me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's talk about being a force multiplier. What do you think?
That's good.
Yeah. Take it away.
Oh, okay. yeah, it was your post. So, it wasn't my post. I just Googled it right now and told you what it was.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, I can take this. That's good.
Well, that's what you're right. So, I kind of ruined that.
Yeah. It just, so the whole thing, what it made me think of is the we is greater than me. What Bree was talking about, vulnerability breeds vulnerability. When you let your own light shine, it lets everybody do that. Kind of some of the topics that I talk about on my podcast are kind of living in that vulnerability and like in your lifestyle. And what's been crazy to me with that is I've had so much feedback from people like, thank you so much for talking about this, or oh my gosh, or whatever it is. And I think it's like we've been talking about, if you are living in this way, and I think as a teacher, I've always thought about this because I'm such like a role model, like at all times. You're always, no matter what you're doing, like people are watching you and people are taking that in. Like I post like these reels that will get like 2,000 views and like 3 likes. And so that always just reminds me, like, people are always observing. They're mm-hmm. always watching. You are always a role model, like how you're moving through life. And that's what like that being a force multiplier is like. If you are going to go out there and be whatever you're going to be, the people around you or your audience or whatever it is, they're like, it's going to amplify. And it's not just like 1 and 1 is 2. It's like 1 and 1 is like 5.
It's a ripple right. effect.
On yes.
That's exactly yeah. what I was thinking in my head, was the ripple effect.
Yeah. Well, I'm reading a book about, I'm fascinated by heaven, if you haven't listened to my podcast lately, but I'm reading a really, really good book about it. I think I recommended you this book. I haven't got to this part yet, but I've been told one of the reasons I got the book is that this is a book about near-death experiences. This guy has spent 40 years studying thousands and thousands of near-death experiences. So people that basically are, you know, unconscious for a second or 2 minutes or whatever, they come back to life. And what happened? What they see? And so it's all documented. And one of the things was that this guy had, there's a lot of life reviews. So it's basically, it's a story. It's just very easy. It's like a 4 or 5 paragraph story. And then there's like a devotional prayer that relates to her, and they hook it up to the Bible. Sorry, but they hook it up to the Bible. I'm not sorry. They hook it up to the Bible. And, but one of the things is the guy had a review. And what he saw was one act of kindness that he did for this particular person and the force multiplier effect. And he saw every single person that affected, you know, and it's like thousands of people that he saw.
That's
just,
yeah,
see? Goosebumps. Yeah.
like when someone buys your drink in Starbucks, it just keeps going and going and going.
But anyway, force multiplier. So being a helper, thank you for being a force multiplier. I mean, that's what you guys are doing.
I love that.
Well, not
concept.
Even just like specific helpers, like if your field is a helper, but like I use the ripple effect a lot in the gym of like the members, like you're working on yourself when you come to the gym, but people fail to realize like how much it impacts those around them. And then it impacts other people. Like you going to the gym or being consistent with your health is probably impacting hundreds to thousands of people without you realizing it. Like, you know, sometimes it can be frustrating for people who do put their health at a forefront that maybe their family doesn't. And then they might get frustrated when they're at like family things and, you know, maybe they like their parents are smoking or things like that. But it's like, you don't always see the small things that people do because of you. Like maybe you were like in their head when they were at work and they decided to like skip having a cupcake on the break table and they decided to like eat the lunch they brought. Like, and then like their coworkers might do the same thing or, you know, most recently there's someone at the gym that like limited his drinking and like stopped drinking and he said like his kids stopped drinking pop too, like he wasn't just giving up alcohol, he gave up pop and then his kids weren't drinking pop and his wife, he realized only drink when he drank. And so when he stopped, she stopped drinking.
Yeah.
And so it's like those things that like really matter too with just like everybody. I mean, the ripple effects everywhere.
Yeah.
I
think
a lot of millennials are like going sober too.
For sure.
I feel like
That's becoming a big thing.
I feel like we're going to see a big like influx of our generation who doesn't like drink.
You guys talked about it a little bit, but I'm interested to know what's the biggest challenge of being a woman in your 30s these days? Because I'm a man in my 50s. We hear about those challenges all the time. What's it like being a woman in your 30s these days?
Brandy, you want to start?
Yeah, Brandy, start.
I feel like our society now likes to pigeonhole people into, like, victimhood. And it would be really easy to be a victim of whatever the circumstances, right? And so I think, like, being like, no, I'm not a victim of being a woman, like, oh, but what about the pay gap? Or what about the, I make more than my male counterparts because I work harder than they do, you know? I just feel like we don't have to be victims of whatever circumstance that we're in, and society kind of, I don't know, I feel like this day and age, it's
very easy to be. People.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good one or not. But.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
Very good. Is.
Yeah.
Very good.
Let's see. The challenge.
I've never seen Jill Watson. Nothing to say. This is awesome.
The challenge of being a woman in her 30s. Gosh, I feel like there's actually like quite a bit. Like I definitely say like just being in like my field of like fitness and like social media is. Oh man, I feel like I don't even know how to get started on this. Like, what people see on the internet just isn't real. Like that like. You want to look like or you want to be like they don't even look like themselves. I mean, Photoshop is insane.
AI is
scary insane. And yeah, you just like people portray things that they want you to see. I mean,
It's
you know, curated. But like even with like body image and things like that, like we grew up in a really terrible time for any type of like, I mean, it's like the worst role models. Like there was literally heroin chic was like actually a fashion, like a style. It was heroin chic. You were so skinny. You looked like you were on drugs. And
did any of you guys ever think that was actually attractive?
Yes. I had like a Thinspiration journal and I had like Kate Moss.
Thinspirational journal. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Do you think Kate Moss was hot? Now you see a picture of that. What do you think?
I personally was like, I'm never going to be cute because I'm not built like that.
Yes.
Like I'm what they call slim thick now, which is really cute now.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, very cute now. And thank God for that. There's no, I'm never going to be able to be like attractive. Like that's how I felt growing up because I just didn't look like that.
So there's just like a lot of things that we grew up with that like the like famous people, like what they wore, their bodies, emaciated. Like they all of these adult women looked like children because they were so small and like represented that way. And like now we're getting into like social media and Instagram and stuff, and like obviously like I work with clients who want to look different most of the time, and they share these photos with me, and I'm like, I can see the Photoshop in this photo. That person you want to look like doesn't even look like that.
Yeah,
you know, like they still have
even,
and it's like you have to be so careful because there's pages that like they claim to show off like their flaws and stuff, and they're still Photoshopping their photos. And I'm like, this girl who's like showing off her cellulite is still like snatching her waist. So it's not real. And like, it's like, you just have to be really careful and like take things with a grain of salt. And also understanding that like lighting, even if you're not Photoshopping, like lighting and posing makes a huge difference. So it's like, we see these like photos and like in Africa, like like women there, like when they're bigger, it's actually like beautiful.
I was just
like,
gonna say we can thank black culture for the fact that having like a big butt is cool, but now it's like white people trying to do that.
And you come to America where it's like all the food they're getting
surgeries that literally are fatal. Like it's insane.
Like, with surgery too, you don't know. Like I mean, it's like you are bringing up someone who has fake lips, like fake boobs. Nothing against that, but it's like you don't think they've had other surgeries to make them thinner. Like you have to take these things into consideration. And it's like in America, we're told like you need to look a certain way, be a certain way, like in your 30s, like you should already have your shit figured out or have kids or be married and stuff. And it's like, I know.
LOL.
I'm like, team cats, no kids. Let's go.
Lots of kids, no cats. Thank you.
But it's like, we're like told to like look like a certain way, or, you know, we should already be like established in our career or whatever. It's like we should. And it's like, no one should be anything but happy. And if you're happy where you're at, but like the only way to be that way is to like stop comparing yourself to people who have things that you don't.
For sure.
Oh, I love that.
So anyways, mic drop, moving on.
That was so good. Okay, biggest challenge for women in the... I feel that we have this weird dynamic of being raised with very traditional, probably, gender roles that they're programmed in our brains as being what's normal, but we actually exist in a time where we're like trying to quote unquote get rid of them. I feel like the biggest struggle for me being in my 30s is, I don't know if you guys like look into like masculine and feminine energies, but that I guess, which can be like that traditional dynamic. But I think a lot of what I struggle with at my age is having to one, embody both of those roles and responsibilities. And don't get me wrong, like I am a business owner, I am a single parent, like I love all of that, I love the empowerment, but with that, like it's harder because life was not designed to do by yourself, so it is harder. I don't ever want to glorify being divorced, being a single parent, having a kid on your own. I don't want to glorify that because it's so much harder. And people are like, wow, you're so strong. Well, because I had to do it. What was I gonna do, just sit here and be like
wallow in it?
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know? I was forced into that. I'm grateful that I'm in a country where I can own a business, where I can do all this stuff. But I was just talking the other day, like, I yearn for a safe place to land. I love my life. I'm proud of myself. I have so many great relationships, but I don't want us. I feel like, I'm sorry to be emotional. Being our age is hard because we're trying to live in what we grew up with. What is now, and then who are we? Like, what is your identity? And that's why people, like, you know, your identity is so much in, like, what do you do, or how do you show up, or, you know, I'm a mom, or I'm this, or I'm that. But it's just, like, at the end of the day, like, we're all, like you said, Bree, the whole point is just to be, like, happy and peaceful with what you're doing. And so I think the hardest part is to be so, or, like, the victimhood, like you were saying, Brandy, like, it just, everything is so kind of, like, shoved down your throat on, like, how you're supposed to be or how you're supposed to show up, or this is what makes a good mom, or this is, you know, like, oh, your kids are from a one parent family, or oh, you're a strong single mom, and oh my gosh, you look at you, how do you work out all day? Like, literally anything I have is because I worked my ass off for it, and I decided to do it. Like, I'm just not, I'm no different than anybody else. But it's definitely, being this age in this time period is hard because there's so many, like, this is what you should be doing, this is how you should be doing it, and then that, like, polarized dynamic of how we grew up with how life is now. And then obviously the ideals that we have for our life and then what our life is actually doing usually don't ever, like, line up. Which is, like, fine, because we're all, like, on a journey and we're learning, and I'm grateful for everything in my life. But I think it's really hard to just be a person. For me personally, I'm so tired of hearing people just that want to piss in my Cheerios. Like, I'm living how I'm living. I'm sorry if you're offended. I'm sorry if you feel insecure about what I'm doing. But
I hope to, but
I really, from the bottom of my helper heart, I want you to be empowered by watching what I'm doing to show you, like, if I can do this and create this beautiful whatever I'm making, like, you also can. And you have to get rid of all the programming, the social media, the victimhood, all of it. Like, it's just there to keep you down. And if you don't have your discernment about you to stand on your own two feet and stand on your square about the life you're creating, you're gonna fall into it. And so that's the hardest part, is that, like, I'm tired of just hearing people, like, and it's not like anyone says you can't do it, but it's just like, I go to start a podcast and, like, it's just crickets for people, because it's like, they want you to be successful. Do they? Mm-hmm. Or are they kind of, like, living in their own, like, regret of what they want to do, but they don't have the, like, gumption to do it?
Yeah.
Because they've been fed that they're a victim. Okay, I could be too. Like, yo, I was on welfare. What do you want me to tell you? I'm not now. Like,
yeah.
Figure it out. I can figure Overcame, it out. You right? can figure it out. Yes. Yeah. And it's nothing but me making decisions.
So I'm divorced too. And one thing when I started dating after mm-hmm. my divorce, it was like, I'm very strong. I'm independent. I tend to put other people before myself. And I felt myself like feeling like guilty. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I want someone who opens my car door. I want someone who picks up the dinner bill. I can afford paying my own dinner bill. But like, I want to be...
Not have to do it.
And like chivalry is something that I still want, right? And I feel like that's something in society, like with the gender roles. It's like, oh, but we should, you know, like... Like, let's stop demasculinizing men. Like, let's make men
be nice. Yes, listen to a little episode, Demasculation of Men.
Also, men, please heal your traumas. Okay, sorry.
right.
We're trying.
Yes.
But we have to open up to vulnerability. It's very hard for us.
It is such a nuanced dynamic. But you're right. It's hard, especially for me. Like, I'm newly, like, single again. But it's the same thing. I know it's, like, a lot. Okay, I know it's a lot. but I don't want to be masculine everywhere.
Yes.
And I think respecting like any woman, but respecting a strong woman while still creating space for them to not be masculine all the time is where a lot of like women our age, I think, get kind of like tripped up a little bit.
Yeah.
Or for like men or other people like observing or taking that in, it's kind of like, okay, well, if she is like XYZ, then like that's her role. But it's kind of like, we're in that weird like push and pull of our age, of our generation, of what society is doing right now. Where do we stand? What is my identity? Well, I am a strong woman who now thinks to women's rights have to work outside the home. And I'm so happy to do it. Love it. But also, like, I can't also be a bro and a gal at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, it's like not the worst thing to like want to be taken care of. Like, I don't know why people make that seem like it's like a weakness. Why do
they make, they like take away from your independence as a woman because you want that? It's like, no, your feelings are hurt and you're probably emasculated right now. And so admitting that like a woman can be standing on her square while also accepting help or love. And I think that's where we get tripped up too. It's like, we are helpers. We are the nurturing whatever it is, but then how and where do we like create that space in our lives where we can comfortably be feminine, as we say, or be helped?
Well, it's like a good perspective that you said too, is like you are searching for that like safe place to land. And it's like,
and you talked about that earlier. What something you said made me think about that, like having that area.
Oh, like where like when I like wasn't helped.
Yes.
In life,
yes.
And that's like how we can help her. Yeah. I think it's like a really good perspective because I think when people, like women do go through things like what you went through, like divorces for both of you, and how it's like a scary place, like especially having four kids. Like, I feel like it's hard to live by myself and I'm single with no kids. You know what I mean? Like, this world just doesn't really set you up in a way that like you can easily be like successful or comfortable alone. And I think it's like good to share those struggles too. Like, obviously, you don't want to just, like, find someone to, like, help you with stability and financially, but, like, it also isn't, like, the worst place to be, like, hey, this actually, like, is really hard and it really sucks. Like, I would much rather be, like, I didn't want my marriage to not work out, you know?
Yes.
Like,
sure. That's not what anyone wants.
So that's a very good perspective.
Before you die, what will be your ideal impact that you will have had on the world? What is your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be?
I'll go first. So I'm a mom to a soon to be 11-year-old boy, Peyton, and I want to be known first and foremost as like Peyton's mom and like raising a really great human. You know, like he's been dealing with bullies, and I look at the parents are bullies and the kids are bullies, and like I want to like look at him and be like, this is, I have left the world a better place because of who I've left behind in it. Absolutely. Right? Now, as far as like my personal like career and my own legacy, I just want people to like know what the risk of cancer is and be able to do something about it and not have to go through what like my mom went through, right? Mm-hmm. And if I can make like an impact like Henry Lynch or somebody has made, he's like my hero. He's from Omaha.
Lynch syndrome
is named after
Lynch,
him.
Huh?
Dr. Henry Lynch. Yeah. Oh yeah. Sam's hero is a Lynch too.
Yeah,
they didn't even
Lynch.
Pick up on it. But
George Lynch.
Nope. Yeah, I knew yours, but
yeah, yeah, Henry Lynch. Just an incredible human. So if we leave the world a better place than when we came, you know, or if mm-hmm. we helped kind of fix something that was wrong in the world, mm-hmm. Then I think that's an amazing footprint we can leave.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Jillian.
Great. Okay. I would say, too, that my I'm in this weird, like, balance of, like, not sharing a lot about my kids and trying to, like, guard them because I do so much that's, like, out there. So I'm in this weird, like, wax and wane kind of with that. But I, like, that my children are why I do everything I do, the decisions that I make, the person that I am, why I go after everything. Like, I took my boys to the gym this morning, and they were like, go, mom, and then started, like, doing sit-ups.
Awesome, Jill.
And mm-hmm. just love getting that. And I really, like, and it's just maybe, like, a unique way, but I really just am trying to, like, live so that my kids have, like, a blueprint on, like, how to, like, live and get the most out of life. And so that, like, my legacy is just, you know, like, there's four of them. That's a lot of, like, rippling out into the world. Mm-hmm. And it's not, that's not lost on me, like, in any moment. I'm always like, my kids are watching, you know, I can't lose my temper. My kids are watching, like, you know, just yeah. all of that stuff. Yeah. It's like a good, like, guiding light. But other than that, it's just, I'm kind of just leaning into the flow of life right now. And so my big, like, legacy is just, like, being a good person and hopefully giving people permission to live well and live with more depth by watching my example, I guess.
Awesome.
Okay, great, thanks. That was
great. Yeah. yeah, and just, like, talking about kids, like, they're less likely to do what we say, they do what we do.
Yeah,
so
that's
great for both of you. Well, like, just from, like, work and then personal, like, at the gym, like, one of our, like mottos is to prevent and reverse chronic disease through fitness. And mm-hmm. I would like to leave the world a better place through health and fitness and CrossFit. And just, I, like, with my job, like, I always try to think, like, how can I help as many people as possible? Mm. Obviously, like, I'm just, like, one person, but we have, like, a whole team at the gym, and I would just like to influence people and know that, like, I made an impact on, like, okay, maybe I helped, like, hundreds of people in our gym, but then they helped other people, and mm-hmm. they, like, because of that, like, after I die, like, their family, you know, like, they changed the way that they lived their life so that their kids grow up to be healthier mm-hmm. and then their kids as kids and things like that. Mm-hmm. So career-wise, like, that's how I would like to leave the world a better place, is just, you know, forging fitness and reversing preventing chronic disease before you have to reverse it, mm-hmm. you know? And then, like, personally, like, my word for this year was serendipitous, where, like, serendipity is kind of, like, I don't know if you, like, divine intervention, maybe, like, where something good just kind of, like, happens upon you. But my perspective of that is, like, making the good out of every situation. Like, you find the good in that. And I want people to, like, think about me, like, I left the room feeling better because she was in it, and she was a light in the room at that time. And that's how I like to
live. Love it. Crazy.
And your word happened to you already.
Did you have a word for the year?
Trust.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I'm not good at it at all.
Mine was enjoy.
Oh, that's so good.
But it was, I mean, talking about, like, our conversation earlier, like, when I can be a real bitch too, it's when I left my other job, I was like, had all these problems and nobody wanted to fix them or do anything. And then I left it, and I'm just like, enjoy the mess, enjoy the shit show.
Yeah,
I tried, you know,
such a good perspective.
So, like, that,
wow.
But also,
looking,
like,
back on
really
it and forward.
Yes.
Yep. So, like, and things are still, like, that ripple effect. Like, my old customers will say something, and I'm just like, enjoy.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Godspeed on your journey. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Enjoy.
Love it.
To my old boss. But really, like, and then, you know, in the positive light is finding joy in Absolutely. Even the little things, right? Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. in the car, just enjoying the music that's on the radio, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying
being present.
Being present.
Yeah.
Being present in the moment.
Yeah.
Well, my three words were more chunk plays, and I had a huge chunk play day.
What does that mean?
Oh, sorry. It's a football term. Chunk play is like when you're trying to advance the ball, try and go down the field. I took Greeter for a football game this fall. Advancing the ball, and you're like trying to get a big, like big chunk of yardage instead of like little, like a big win, like a big like chunk.
29 times.
More chunk plays. Yeah. So thanks for
the chunk play. Oh, like a little bit more of like a launch?
You're trying to gain a lot of ground in a short amount of time.
Oh, yeah. Efficiency.
Yeah.
Great.
Good chunk play today. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, and that is, do you guys have any questions for me before we wrap this up?
Oh, my gosh.
Because you've been so vulnerable. Yeah,
what do you want?
I think we all cried.
I have one.
Yeah.
I cried at something when you were, like, talking about... At the very beginning, like the diet coaching, I just like started. I don't know why. I'm like, she's so passionate about this, and I love it. Like, I don't really even know what you're saying, like, oh gosh, but I love it.
This is
going
to be so long if I'm crying at this right
now. No, I love that. I have a question.
Yes.
What is your, how do you want to leave the world when you're gone?
I want people to think that that guy worked his ass off. And that guy never took a shortcut.
I love that.
I want people to think that guy never took any shortcuts.
And you always, like, I worked for Sam, and he always did things with such integrity, you know, when in a business that, you know, is not known for integrity, right? Sam always did things the right way. Wow. You know, you weren't a cheat. You didn't lie.
You really did
everything with such integrity. And
well, thank you.
Like that was one thing I really took away from working for Sam was, you know, here was a guy that was very successful, but he got to where he was by working hard, grinding it out, and really doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. And that left a huge impression.
Thank you. Man, too bad I'm still not in business. I'd maybe sell some.
Well, if you need to buy a house, I know a girl, so.
All right. Any other questions, Brandy Bree?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I am terrible at questions.
My question is actually to the girls. How has Sam helped you?
I'll cry. I gotta hold off. Do you have one?
Well, like kind of what I said, I mean, guided my career for sure, but he was always there. Like, so I had my son when I was 21, like not planned.
LOL.
And it was my family was not supportive. Like, it was just not good. And when Sam found out, he was just like, what can we do? Like, shut up with, you know, all sorts of things
that I
needed.
She didn't wear a lot of big sweaters for a long time. I didn't know diddly shit.
I was like knocking doors.
You're like 8 months
like
long. He's like, you're pregnant.
Yeah.
A little chubby.
Oh my God, you're having a baby next week?
Yeah. I was like, she's out knocking doors. Like, we were hired to go knock on doors. Like, you know, you and Heather go out and knock on doors. I had no idea she was pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can see.
And I was happy to do it, but like, just he's always been there, no matter what. So like professionally, he was a really great mentor and a great friend. But like I've always said, like Sam's like been like another dad to me because he was just and like when I didn't believe in myself, like Sam always believed in me. So
I get that like cry where if I see you
thank
do
you.
It,
thank
it's like a sympathy.
I'm gonna do it. Yeah. I know. I'm like it's like yawning. It changes the pressure in the room or something.
Very kind.
I would say so. In my family, there's this very like interesting dynamic where like you just are quiet and like respect the older people and like you never question them. And then there's not like a lot of like nobody. So like, I need to like get my life together here. I don't have like any role models of people really at all. I've never had somebody older than me see something in me and speak it until Sam did.
Bitch, now I'm gonna cry.
We're all crying. This is so emotional.
And like, it just,
And I'm such like, that's, so I'm an only child. So I grew up like liking that validation. But I just never really got it. And it's nothing that like I blame my parents for or anything like that, because it's just, you know, how my life has like happened. But even like in my career, in everything I've done, nobody has really ever helped me. And they say like so I'm like a certified principal teacher. Everyone's like, you're going to get shoulder tapped. I've never been that person. I'm never a person that someone's going to be like, oh my gosh, you're doing so great. That's just never been my existence. Everything that I've had has not been a shortcut. So that's why I really love what you said, Sam, about that. Because I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to get a shortcut. I'm just going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. I'm very grateful because I get to learn a lot during that. But
and it's more rewarding that
it
way.
It is way more rewarding. I was just the other day like listening to Taylor Swift, and like at the end of the song, because I read the lyrics, it just says written by Taylor Swift. And when I thought to myself, I'm like, that's what I'm going to be able to say like about my life, is that I did it. Like, oh. You know? And so to have somebody older in this, the age does mean a lot. I don't know why. But having someone older than me see something, speak it, like when you came to work out and he was just like, you are so strong. And I was like, what? Like, well, I know,
you're
I know.
A badass. You don't even know it. I want her to see you work out.
I don't ever hear that from anyone ever. And so it's just very special to me. The role that you have played in my life.
I only call shit the way I see it, kid.
I know, but when you never hear it and you're 35 years old, it's just like shocking. You know what I mean? It just feels, and I know it's genuine because I know you. And so it just has been a very like validating thing. So anyway, sorry about that, everyone. LOL. We're doing great.
So cute.
All right.
We're doing well, so good. Okay, Brie.
Sam, I've known you for, gosh, what, almost 10 years now?
I don't know,
yeah.
16 or
17,
whatever
he
came legit.
Yeah, 2015, so it's about 8 to 9 years.
Jeez. Talked to you for like
no,
years
it would take, I think, like, we took a few years. Yeah. It takes a lot like, to warm up to Sam, like, yeah. Or Sam to warm up to people.
Yeah, Betsy's the same way.
Thought
you were a jerk.
Yeah.
You just have cop face.
I have always said about Sam that, like, and there's a handful of people at the gym that I say, honestly, like, everyone at the gym, but specifically a handful of people that, like, I always feel very protected knowing that he's in my corner. And so I think of you like a protector, kind of. Yes. And a lot of the things that these two are both saying, you know, like Brandy, you said, like, he does things with integrity. Like, I automatically think loyalty when I think of Sam. Mm-hmm. And that inspires me to act a certain way. You know, just like kids don't do what you say, they do what you do. Like, your actions definitely have inspired me in the past with decisions and things like that. So thank you for that. And then, like, something else, too, is, like, worthiness and, like, importance. Like, I never really had, like, I struggle with, like, feeling, like, worthy sometimes. And that's, like, very vulnerable of me sharing that. It's not something I tell people a lot. But Sam, it time and time again, and it's always at, like, the perfect times, like, he will just remind me of that. And it means so much to me. Obviously, I haven't ever told you that, but you're a huge reason that, like, I went even harder in the field that I'm in to, like, help people, because you made me feel like I made a difference, and that was something I just needed to hear. So,
she's changed.
Thank you, Sam. You help a lot of people, too.